This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number is 877-217-5757, and our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with the celebrated political consultant, Ray Strother. We're inside 35 weeks before the presidential election, and Ray has handled a candidate or two running for president and vice president, including Bill Clinton, Albert Gore, Gary Hart, Lloyd Benson. He's been around the block a few times, and he is joining us from his home in Bozeman, Montana, where he is watching what is going on in the Democratic field in South Carolina. And Saturday is decision day in the Palmetto State, and it is probably decision day for Vice President Joe Biden, who must win in South Carolina to keep going and be a viable candidate for president. He started as the favorite in the Democratic field. The Republican Party is running spots against him using a fake statement from President Obama that was taken from Obama's 1995 autobiography. Ray Strother, it looks like the Republicans, despite Joe Biden falling on his sword more than once, they're out to get him even now.
Yeah, I think that they think he is their toughest competitor. And I think there's very little doubt of that. I think they're very comfortable with Sanders. And as an old traditional liberal Democrat, I'm a little depressed by the whole thing. I don't see Sanders as a traditional liberal. And Jim, like all political people, I read polls night and day. And I live and die. I always used to live and die by them. Now I'm just casually interested in them. And I see now that 538 says that Sanders has a 2-in-5 shot of winning the whole thing, and Biden a 1-in-8 shot. Well, that's not too good. Then I flip back to Nate Silver, and he says that if Biden gets a good bump out of South Carolina, which should be 40% or more, he could roar through the South and have a chance. He wouldn't win the nomination, but he'd have a chance at getting the convention, at least in proximity of Sanders. But other than that, it's pretty, if he can't get a bounce out of South Carolina, it seems to me that our nominee will be Sanders.
And in the Real Clear Politics conflation of polls, President Trump is now at 46.4%. That's not great, but it's significantly higher than he has been, higher than he's ever been since I've been looking at this. And remember, he only got 46.1% of the votes in 2016 and won the election. So the president appears to be, at this point, gaining momentum while the Democrats are in disarray. Can that inertia change, or is it now looking more likely that we're going to have a second term for Donald John Trump?
Oh, gosh, I'd hate to predict that. Give me a heart attack. But it's very likely we're going to have a second term for Trump. Now, things will change in the next 3 weeks. Well, after Super Tuesday, we'll know a lot more. But I'm a fatalist when it comes to Sanders. I just can't see our party winning with Sanders at the end of the ticket.
How does he affect other races? Some believe he would hurt Democrats in other parts of the country.
Oh, yeah. I think if he's at the head of the ticket, we will not regain the Senate. I think that's almost certain. And we could possibly lose the House. It just spells nothing good for the Democratic Party. God, I hate to be a fatalist. It's not my nature, but I'm not very happy about the whole situation.
Well, George Will, a conservative who is not for Trump in a huge way. In fact, he wants Trump to lose and I think would vote for Bernie Sanders over Donald Trump, even though, as we know, Will is a Reagan Republican. But he compares this Sanders phenomenon to Barry Goldwater in 1964, and we know what happened then. Goldwater started a movement that ultimately led to Reagan's presidency, but he got blown out by Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Well, that's true. That's a good comparison. I haven't read that column yet, but it also is reminiscent of McGovern, because I was a very young man, but just slightly involved in that on the outer edges. But there was a movement behind McGovern that exists today. The McGovern people still hang together today. Gary Hart was one of them. Bill Clinton was one of them. Hillary Clinton was one of them. So it was a movement that was much like that.
Well, McGovern in 1972, and I was 14, and I recall him being portrayed by Nixon as a wimp, and here McGovern was a decorated war hero in World War II, flying many missions, not one, but many missions, and getting the Distinguished Flying Cross. He was a man from the tough part of the country, hard living in South Dakota, and he certainly was not born with a silver spoon. And he had this thing, he wanted a $1,000 giveaway. He thought that would stimulate the economy, which of course it would, and he was portrayed as a nut. Now compare that to Bernie Sanders, draft dodger, and also a guy who is an avowed socialist. We really have seen the Democratic Party, at least for the time being, moving leftward past McGovern.
Yeah, you know, we tend to vote emotionally. And the word socialist is a major hurdle for people to vote, to Krauss to vote for him. That word alone can defeat him. And he's very proud of it. He keeps defending it. I guess it's too late to change right now anyway. But socialist is just a stumbling block for the next election. I don't see how anyone declared socialist wins this race. And I may be wrong. You know, something could happen. I've also said that there's no way Trump could be elected president. All the numbers were against it. But, you know, he pulled it off by winning certain states, losing the popular vote, but winning a few states. So I guess all things are possible, but it's unlikely.
Well, I recall, and I know you do, in 1988, Michael Dukakis left Atlanta after the Democratic Convention 17 points ahead of George Bush, and then on Election Day, Dukakis carried 10 states.
I was representing Senator Benson at that time for vice president and Senate. We were running two races at the same time. And I remember late in the campaign, the Dukakis people had turned down a couple of ads that Benson wanted run in Texas that I'd made for him. So I called him on the campaign airplane, and he whispered in my ear, "Raymond, don't make any more spots. This is over." And this was about 3 weeks before, 4 weeks before the election. So, you know, Dukakis was a disaster.
But the point I'm making is that he was way ahead in June.
Oh, yeah.
In June.
Oh, yeah.
Then,
he was way ahead.
And then he lost. And Bernie Sanders, in many polls right now, is beating Donald Trump head-to-head. Can those polls be, well, can they hold for another 35 weeks?
I don't think so. I think it'll get down to, elections are always about very simple things in the end. It'll get down to, do you want a socialist or do you not want a socialist? I mean, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. The 538 projection shows Sanders with 1,743 delegates at the end of this process, with Biden with 1,060, and Bloomberg is 656. That's a big difference in these candidates.
Can Bloomberg rebound from some poor performances, the initial one in particular in the debates?
Well, the last two. I mean, Bloomberg, because he wasn't in the South Carolina primary, would have done well to stay out of the debates at this point and let his money talk for him. But I think he's slipping right now. He was the great chance for people like me, liberal Democrats who can't stand the thought of Trump being reelected. He was a fallback position in case Biden stumbled, and now he's not as much of a fallback position. I communicate regularly with a former head of the Democratic Party, and he's firmly Biden still, and he thinks a miracle can happen, but my argument is I hope so, but don't think it.
877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org. And we've got a few inquiries about the coronavirus and the politics of it, and we will talk to Ray Strother about that. And right now the Dow is down 661 in early trading, more than 3,000-point drop in the last weak and race. Rather, this could affect Donald Trump. Now, this is one thing he got to say he's got nothing to do with. But if the economy goes down, it's not usually good for whoever the president of the United States is.
Well, Trump has pegged his presidency on the stock market, of all things. And he's panicked every time the stock market takes a dip. Now, I don't think the president has that much to do with the stock market, but, you know, I'm not an economist. I don't know. But I think he's watching with bated breath what happens with this virus. If you know, 10,000 Americans come down with the virus after he assured us it was about over, that it was 15 now, would be zero in a couple of weeks. I think he'll have to pay a price for that.
877-217-5757. We'll take a 90-second break and return with the seasoned political consultant, Ray Strother, after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. And with us for a bit longer is Ray Strother, the celebrated political consultant, LSU Hall of Famer, both in the Manship School and in the Alumni Hall of Distinction, I believe. And, of course, the National Political Hall of Fame has Ray Strother as a proud member. He's in so many halls I can't keep track. And he wrote one of the best autobiographies about American politics called Falling Down. And he's been around the block, and we are headed for the home stretch in short order. The conventions will be with us before we know it. Right now the Democrats are trying to wade through a morass and see who their nominee will be. It's South Carolina this week with 54 delegates. And then on March 3rd, as in next Tuesday, Alabama, American Samoa, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. Louisiana doesn't come until April 4th. And on that day, it'll be Alaska, Hawaii, Louisiana, and Wyoming. Louisiana will be the biggest prize on April 4th with 54 delegates at stake. 877-217-5757. Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. Sabash, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim, and your talk today is very interesting, but I'm curious for two things. One is, are you all saying that Sanders will lose because of his policies or because of his label as a socialist Democrat? And the second thing is, if Trump could win with all his funny things, what is the problem with Sanders winning?
Sanders can win this election. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, Ray, you're saying that it's going to be tough to get past that socialist tag that he has. And by the way, this is a tag he has by choice. He's not even a Democrat.
Right.
And the Republicans would never allow an independent to be their nominee. How did the Democrats get in this situation?
Well, contrary to what people believe, going to the caller, contrary to what people believe, they don't take all of the policies and line them up on a table and say, okay, I like this policy here, I like that policy there. No, they vote on an emotional basis. And that word socialism is a huge hurdle. I've seen statistics on it, but if I were on the, I'm just thinking now, if I were on the other side, God, I would love to run against that word, because that word is more important than what he says about college tuition or anything else. It just sends a ripple through society. And, Jim, I want to apologize for being such a downer, because during the commercial break, I got a call from a friend who was a listener in Louisiana. And he said, man, he said, you're depressing me. So, Tim, I'm sorry.
John on Perkins. John, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Ray Strother.
Yeah, I'm kind of a conservative that wants Trump out. But I wonder about this thing of Sanders and socialism. Like, y'all were talking about the polls. And especially the national polls last time really weren't that far off. I think the real core average had Clinton winning by 3.2, and she actually won by 2.1. Well, right now they have Sanders up, and they've got a pretty good population of polls. They've got Sanders up by like 4.5 percentage points on Trump in that average. There's not a single one where Trump is up. Sanders is up in all of them. Sanders is slightly up in Florida. He's only 4 points down in Texas.
All right. What do those polls mean right now, Ray?
Well, they're a good indicator, but they don't mean that much at the moment. Because this, remember, you still have at least six people running on the Democrat side. And there's a lot of uncertainty. It'll get down to two or three issues about 2 weeks before the election. And at that point, we'll find out if the polls were correct. He was right. Most people don't understand that Hillary's polling was not bad. It was almost right on. And she did win. But winning popular vote, obviously, in this country, doesn't matter. One time I was in China I was at a State Department trip explaining democracy. Yeah, it was very Taipei, actually. And some Chinese student asked me, he says, does the people who get the most votes always win? And I started to say yes, then I evaded the question because I was never going to try to explain the Electoral College.
Well, Bernie Sanders inspires emotion on the left, and Joe Biden doesn't inspire that kind of emotion, but nonetheless, Biden may be the more electable of the two, and I've got several questions related to Sanders. One is, what kind of a running mate would he choose, and would he dare even think about John Bel Edwards of Louisiana as a proverbial ticket balancer, somebody almost his total opposite? Would that happen, and what kind of a person would he choose?
Well, that wouldn't be a bad choice. He would actually be a very good match with Sanders because he's so far opposite Sanders. I think personally he's going to have to choose a woman, and I don't think it'll be Elizabeth Warren either. It's too close to him, too much
and,
the same.
And they don't like each other a lot.
They don't like each other. I'd say Klobuchar maybe. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, she would be the safe choice, no doubt.
Yeah,
no
she'd
doubt.
Be a safe choice, and she'd be good in the Midwest, and she'd be good in a couple of states he needs, Wisconsin and Minnesota. And so anyway, that's a long way off, but things will change during the last 3 weeks drastically.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ray, he is your age, as are most of the other candidates, but he I don't think he's released his health records, and we know he's had a heart attack, and neither has Trump for that matter, but this is serious business. I think we should have the right to know what kind of physical condition our president or would-be president is in.
Oh, absolutely. I think we should. I don't think anyone should vote for me, for example, if I were running for president. And the other thing, because I've been in four presidential races, it's the most grueling, difficult, strenuous exercise you can imagine. I can't understand how a man my age can hop out of bed in the morning, catch an airplane or a caravan of cars, and give speeches all day long and go to bed at midnight after shaking 100,000 hands. I don't get it. I mean, I don't see it. It takes energy beyond what I can understand. And I even thought that when I was 42 years old traveling with these guys. I was taking naps when they weren't. So I don't know what fuel drives them.
I remember that scene in 1984 when Gary Hart, of course, remember we had that axe?
And
he looked like a guy who could do the job, and that helped him a lot.
Isn't that funny? That changed that entire election. And just to show answer our previous caller's question, that one axe throwing was worth a lot of points in the polls, and that's ridiculous because Gary had never thrown an axe, and we were standing in New Hampshire, and they asked if he would do it, and he said, sure, hand me an axe, and he hit the bullseye. Well, he made national headlines with that picture. it was amazing how the nature of the campaign changed with that one thing. Well, that can happen during the last 2 weeks of any campaign. Of course, that was a primary election, but it can happen any time. You know, this virus, coronavirus, we don't know. If Trump wakes up one morning and there are 50,000 Americans infected, he could be defeated. So I'm not hoping for that. I'd rather Trump elected than 50,000 people get it. But
one learned scientist, Ray, says that as many as 70% of Americans will eventually get it. And if it happens like that, if it is a pandemic, it's quite likely that some of these presidential candidates will get it, and that would be really something. Ray in Prairieville. Ray, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim. My question for Mr. Shaw, and I completely agree with him. I don't think that Bernie Sanders has a chance of getting elected against Trump. But what about Amy Klobuchar? Would we elect a female?
Well, we're not going to elect that female. She just has really no chance. But and I'm speaking before Ray, but she could end up being on the ticket, and I think she quite possibly will be the running mate. She is. She's tailor-made for this year. What do you think, Ray?
I think that's probably why she stays in the race, because there, I see no primary she's going to win between now and Minnesota. She may win Minnesota. She will win Minnesota. I think she's way ahead there right now. But I think she's hanging on because she knows she's a logical choice. Now, Sanders is not sometimes logical, so I can't guarantee that she would be the vice presidential candidate, but she has a very good chance.
877-217-5757. We're back with more from Ray Strother after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, another segment with Ray Strother. We'll hear from Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief from the Advocate in short order as well. The big story of the day continues to be the drop of the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the markets as a whole. By the way, the NASDAQ is down 330 this morning, 330 points. And on a percentage basis, 330 points is 4%. Now, the Dow's down 3.3% today to 26,073. So it, in a week, has lost more than 3,000 points. And Donald Trump was touting his performance as president and how it affected the stock market. In his State of the Union address, he said it had gone up 70%, when in reality it had gone up close to 50%. Now, with this drop, in his 3 years plus as president, the Dow has gone up 30%, which still isn't bad, but compare that. Under Clinton, it went up 229%. Under Obama, it went up 148%. And before we get Ray Strother to comment, here's the president on the coronavirus, which, of course, is what's causing this. Yesterday, when he was trying to calm America, some people believe he did just the opposite. Here's our president.
You may ask about the coronavirus, which is very...
What happened, Matt? All right. Well, let's go to Ray then.
Well, under control in our country. We have very few people with it. The people are getting better. They're all getting better. We brought in some Americans from a ship because it was really the right thing to do, and they're in quarantine. And we think they'll be in very good shape very, very soon.
Well, in the movement today downward may be in large part because of a report from California that a person has tested positive for coronavirus, and that person had no known contact with somebody who was known to be infected. So it is something that's obviously going to gain momentum, unfortunately, and we'll see where it goes. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta, you're on the air with Ray Strother. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I learned in economics, you try to control the economy, it's like trying putting price controls. It's like going down to the ocean and telling the wind to stop in the middle of a hurricane. CNBC reported that Bernie Sanders wants rent controls on every apartment in America. That will create shortages. And furthermore, look, I'm a day trader. I trade hundreds of shares sometimes every day. And Bernie Sanders wants to put a half of 1% tax on every one of my stock trades. That would that would put me out of business, and it would also hurt the markets because it would destroy the liquidity. Bernie
Sanders. Well, I thought you were a liberal Democrat, David.
I am a liberal Democrat, but Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat.
He's what? He's not
He's not a Democrat. He's a socialist. He's as much of a threat to this country as Trump is. And speaking of Trump, did you know Trump proposed to cut more than half of the budget funding for the World Health Organization in his 2021 budget? What happens when the next pandemic comes along? There might not be enough funds available to research a cure.
All right. Ray Strother, your response to David in Atlanta.
I want to put David on my campaign team. you know, during the interim, during the commercial break, when I looked at Nate Silver, Nate Silver has an interesting perspective. He says that everything is of the future, in the future of this primary election, cycle will depend on the bump out of South Carolina. That if Biden doesn't get something like 40% of the votes in South Carolina, it could be over. But what he says is he gets that kind of bump, he'll turn around and win most of the southern states and be competitive in some other states and go to the convention where the superdelegates can make the difference. So I just wanted a note of optimism because I've been so dire and down all day.
Well, it's going to be fascinating. The president has put Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, in charge of this, and presumably Pence will be out campaigning. After all, he is on the ballot as well. Another listener asked about Russia wanting apparently a battle between Trump and Sanders. Could it be that Vladimir Putin, above anything else, just wants chaos in America?
You know, I go back and forth. Chaos may be the motive. The motive may be wants to reelect his candidate, Donald Trump. I don't know which it would be. But either way, it hurts his country. There will be chaos. For example, if we get to the convention with Sanders leading but then loses the nomination, which is possible, I can harken back to Chicago campaign. When we were rioting in the streets, and I think that would happen here because the Sanders people are diehards.
Right.
And if we go to the convention with Sanders losing the nomination, I think we're in real chaos then. So there's almost no way out.
It's always dangerous when the person who doesn't win has the more passionate supporters, and it happened in 1980 when Jimmy Carter won renomination over Ted Kennedy. Kennedy had the passion on his side, but he didn't have the delegates. And it happened in 1976 for the Republicans when Gerald Ford got the nomination over Ronald Reagan. And we know what happened. Ford lost in 76, Carter lost in 80. And Bernie Sanders could win because of the vulnerability of Trump and this coronavirus. It's sad, but this could be the issue. Yesterday, in that very weird press conference the president had, he also was talking about interest rates affecting his popularity, but the interest rates right now are much, much lower than they were when Bill Clinton was president, and he had a 229% increase in the Dow Jones Industrial Average and balanced the budget and left with a surplus. So we've got a $1 trillion deficit, too. That's another thing that is not being really talked about the way it was when President Obama was president, and he was bringing the deficit down, Ray Strother.
If I were a presidential candidate, which God knows I never would have been, I would be afraid to stake my presidency on the Dow Jones. That's just not a good place to hang your hat. Because as I think David from Atlanta said, economics can fluctuate wildly. And Trump is staking his reputation on the stock market. You know, by the election, people remind him that Clinton did better, and Obama did better. Yeah, Obama did better. So I think people, once they know that, will still be passionately for Trump. I think his 40-something percent or 40% is absolute. I don't think you could crack that no matter what happened to the virus. But there are some people who are changeable, who move in the middle of the spectrum. And that's a possibility, a sickening one to think about a virus change in the presidential race. But little things can happen.
Now, when John and Perkins called a few minutes ago, he is correct that polls right now show Bernie Sanders ahead of Donald Trump in Florida. And Trump is now going to be on the ballot as a Floridian. But what happens if those are the candidates and those remarks this week that Sanders made about Fidel Castro are broadcast across South Florida, which they will be, and in this case they won't be fake the way the remarks about Joe Biden are in South Carolina. This is the real deal with Sanders praising Castro. That doesn't play well in Florida, does it?
It doesn't, but it's changing. I've done a lot of work in Florida. In fact, my breakout state was Florida back in 1980. We're talking generational politics now. The young Cubans, the grandsons of those people who escaped Castro, are Democratic now. The older people, no, they wouldn't vote for anybody who favored Castro or said anything nice about him ever because they lost their country. But this third generation, they're Americans. They don't even consider themselves Cuban most of the time, except the sandwiches they eat at lunch.
John in New Roads, who is a Sanders supporter, writes, saying of you, Ray Strother, he says, Raymond Strother, boomer aristocrat opining from his mansion in the Rockies. I love John in New Roads.
I like that, John. It's okay. It's a long way from Port Arthur, John.
What about, I thought Bloomberg actually had a pretty good line when he said the best known socialist in America has three homes and is a millionaire. And Sanders, he said, yeah, I've got one in Burlington, I got one in Washington, and everybody in Vermont has a camp.
I thought that was interesting. Everybody has a camp, yeah. No, he's a, there were some people without much money in the campaign, like Buttigieg in Klobuchar. They don't have much money. But, he sold a book. He made some money. But I found over time, anytime people wanted to run a campaign on who's spending the most money, they're very weak. Americans don't really care who spends the most money or who has the most money. It's strange to me. I learned not a long time ago not to run campaigns based on spending.
A listener, Sherry, notes that several months ago you said that it would come back to bite Kamala Harris when she attacked Joe Biden, and asked whether these attacks on candidates from other candidates ultimately do end the person doing the attacking.
They do. They do. You any time you run negative advertising, it's a two-edged sword. It hurts your opponent, and it hurts you. And I've always been very cautious about negative advertising. One time I got a bad reputation among the party in Washington. They would say I wasn't tough enough, I wasn't strong enough, I didn't do enough negative advertising. Well, if I were in that position, I still wouldn't do a lot of negative advertising. People vote for things. They don't really vote against things.
Well, thanks to Judy Foyle, who just said she's listening to Ray Strother as she walks the mall. So we've got listeners all over the place. And Ray, it's always good to hear your voice in beautiful Bozeman, Montana, where you are opining from your mansion. And a life well led and well lived. Thank you, Ray Strother.
Well, thank you very much, and all your listeners, most literate listeners on radio.
Thank you, sir. And we'll be back with Mark Ballard, one of the most erudite reporters in North America or beyond, and he's on the trail of the session and more. 877-217-5757 is your number. We're back after this pause.